perspective changes. And I have noticed that the more I focus on myself, the more disenchanted, the more frustrated, the more you seem things aren't fair. But the more that I focus on Him and His mercy and His love, His faithfulness to me, it totally changes my perspective, and I realize just how blessed I am when I see that no matter how unfaithful I've been to Him at times, just how faithful He's been to me. Can we give Him thanks one more time? I didn't take the day off yesterday because it's my birthday week. My birthday's not today. But you're probably not going to come here Thursday and eat a cupcake or whatever's out there. See, now I've said that, you're not going to hear a word I'm going to say today. But I was at the Circleville location working there while my wife was here. So although I wasn't here, that's why I didn't stand up, because the question was, if you were here yesterday working, please stand. So I just had to sit there and make you all think that I just took the day off. But I was working at the Circleville location yesterday. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And after we read this, I'll have you be seated. Thank you for standing and worshiping the way that you have. This will be the last week of our series here on Light Up the Darkness. And again, this series was born as we turn to 2 Corinthians 10. This series was born out of me watching for 25 years good people, Christian people, people that love God, praying earnestly for things to happen in their life, and then watching them struggle as some of those things didn't happen or reoccurring things happening, and then watching as even in things, these are some of the things that I have been guilty of myself, where I have prayed for one thing, but because of my thoughts, my behaviors, my conversations, actually created something else. All the while I'm praying for this to happen, but I'm planting seeds for this to happen. And so this is a something to help us to understand the spirit world and how it works. So I will read today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. I'll read out of the King James today. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So today I'm going to help us to continue to know, how do we light up the darkness? Let's pray. God, I pray that you help us today to understand, Lord, how the spirit world works. God, that our input and our part in this, Lord, that we do have a part to play, and you've given us power and authority over dark areas of our life. Help us to realize that we not only have the power, but the authority to do so. Help us to realize that power and authority that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Look at somebody near you. Let them know you're glad they're here today. And you can be seated. You can be seated. We have to understand that we do have power in spiritual places, that we're not just at the mercy of this spiritual conflict that we've been placed in. And so my goal and my hope is that we would have understanding of how the spirit world works, that we wouldn't just be praying things and just simply hoping for things to happen. I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But we also see that faith without works is dead. And so we have to have an understanding that although we pray spiritual things and we pray by faith, that our action also has to play a part in that faith. In this passage here, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, our daily life is here in the flesh. We have fleshly needs. We have bills to pay. We have groceries to buy. We have very spirit, very fleshly, carnal needs that are usually the things that are right in our face. Conflict, things in our face. We got to go to work tomorrow, in our face. Grass to cut, if you've had a chance to cut yours yet. It's growing fast, and it's you don't know whether to do it with the winter parka on or in a short-sleeved shirt, and so that's always right there. These are natural things, but we don't war after the flesh. The Bible goes on to say in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So in this, we see this contrast where anything that is fleshly or anything that is carnal is weak, and everything that is spiritual is mighty or strong. And so we have to have an understanding here that a lot of the stuff in the natural, in God's eyes, are just very weak things. That's not where our battle is, consequently. There are spiritual battles that we face, and we have to have an awareness of that battle. And Brother Gonzalez and Sister Gonzalez helped us to kind of navigate through this. And I would also recommend that you get that information on Spotify and on our website and any number of places where you can access that, Facebook, and go back and continue to listen to that as a masterclass on spiritual activity. Because we have to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. And so I will be talking about that more so in the future, not today. We have to understand in this passage here that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. That these things that we wrestle against many times have a very spiritual root. It's not just a temptation. It's not just flesh. Sometimes it is. But sometimes there's a very spiritual component behind that, that is a very strong force behind that. And we have to know what is flesh and what is spirit and have to discern what it is, because we have to know how to fight it. And the large part of this lesson is having the understanding of what is spirit and what is flesh so that we know how to fight it. Why? Because if it's flesh, if it's Bill Pelham, if it's me, if it's just my temptation, then I have to realize I have to crucify my flesh. That I have to take control and have some discipline in my life to say no. But if there's something beyond just natural temptation and natural struggle, and it's this ongoing, I go to sleep thinking about it, I wake up thinking about it, I'm reading my Bible and my mind is thinking about this, and there's somehow this supernatural force behind this that's beyond just natural, then I have to cast that out. You cannot crucify a spirit, nor can you cast out your flesh. So I have to know where that battle is. I have to know what things are me and what things are the enemy. Why? Because I have to know how to fight it. I have to know where to do my battle. And so we understand this in this spirit world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Strongholds are area. What are strongholds, Pastor? Temptations? No. Everybody has temptations. Strongholds are areas of your life that feel hopeless. Strongholds are areas of repetitive sins. They are sins that it's not just, oops, I slipped, I fell, I made a mistake. No. These are things that is a specific area of your life that you continually fall in that area. It's an addictive thing. It's an addiction. It's a thought pattern. It's, I can't get past this. I can't forgive this person. I can't. I will take this to my grave. I will never change this area. I'm good. I'm 99% good. And we've all, for the last few weeks, we've gone through that, right? That leaving that one area of darkness. And we accept it that, well, I guess I'll never get over this. I guess I'll never get past this. I guess I'll never forgive. But I've forgiven everybody else, but I just can't get past that. That is a stronghold. Everyone say stronghold. There should not be any place in our life that we can't defeat. There should not be any area that we surrender and say, well, I guess I can't win that one. The reason why this is a stronghold is because the enemy is smart enough to fortify himself. What does that mean? If you look at battles in the Bible, you will see that when a country overthrew another country, they wouldn't just defeat their army and then just go away, because they knew that they would rebuild. And that's why the enemy fortifies himself, and that's why he wants to keep you beat down. He doesn't want you to rebuild. And so what does the enemy do? The enemy wins a battle against a neighboring country, and then they go in and they take all their food. They take all their weapons. They take their women, their children, their young men, their young ladies, and they use them for slave labor. And those young men end up indoctrinating them into their culture. And then these become their next generation of warriors for their country. They're fortifying themselves. They're beating down any hope of resistance you have. They will demoralize you. They'll take the things that are the most valuable to you and tear those things down. That's why many times they will tear down their artwork. They will tear down their buildings. They'll do these things because those buildings identify us. They would come into Columbus and they would tear down the shoe. Why? Because that represents who we are as Buckeyes. They would tear down the Lincoln Levesque Tower because that is symbolic of Columbus. And the enemy would tear that down, that it would just tear down our very identity. And so that's why the enemy is trying to consistently come after you. But I've got good news. You can have strongholds too. Because when you defeat the enemy, it may be one time out of 100 where all of a sudden the enemy comes against you again. But today, this time, I defeat the enemy. And you're going to get ambitious, and you're going to say, you know what? I won today. I beat this today. I was victorious over this today. I'm going for 2 in a row. And so the next day when that temptation comes, that struggle, that unforgiveness comes, and you say, wait a minute, I did it yesterday. That was a victory. Now, I might have lost 100 before that, but you know what? Yesterday I had a victory. I'm going to go for 2 in a row. And then you go for 2 in a row and you say, you know what, this feels pretty good. I think I can do this again. And you start getting some faith. You start getting an idea that I can forgive, or I can defeat this, or I can break this habit, whatever this stronghold is. And you start to fortify yourself. The Bible begins to tell us how to do this. Now, here's where we have to understand, because we all want supernatural deliverance. And God is in this. Look at your neighbor and say, God is in this. God is in this, but he has given us a plan. He has given us our part to do so that he can do his part. Here's where we want God to show up and just do the work for us. Here's where we want God to just deliver us and take it away. And we know that he can in many cases, and he will, and many times he has. But there's a part that we have in this, and he's about to give us the plan of how we break down strongholds. Are you ready? Verse 5, casting down imaginations. He doesn't do that for you. Everybody say imaginations. Point to your head, imaginations. Imagination isn't a passing thought. Now, we will all get temptations and things that happen in a passing thought. You'll get the craziest ideas. I get crazy ideas once in a while. There's a lot going on in this thing, and it's weird. It can get weird up here. There are passing thoughts that I get, But imaginations is when I start to dream about something intentionally. I start to think about it. I start to think of a plan. I start to play out the idea. I start to go a little further along with that passing dumb thought. I start moving ahead and figuring out, how would I accomplish that? How would I do that? How would I do that and not get caught? How would I do this and justify it? How can I make this okay? Now, y'all looking at me like I'm alone up here, like you've never thought this way. Thank you. Thank you. Got one honest one out there. The rest of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. I must be bad to be in that head of yours. Imaginations. You know that sending rockets to the moon was somebody's imagination. You know building a car and getting away from horse and buggies was somebody's imagination. You know, computers and all that comes with that was somebody's imagination. You know, somebody imagined it enough. The whole Disney thing was built on. And now here it is. There's one in L.A. and there's one in Orlando. And now here, all that stuff that initially was in some guy's mind is now making billions of dollars. And so we have to take control of our imagination. So what we do here is we cast down imaginations. We have to take control of our minds. When you get that thought of that stronghold, that unforgiveness, which the Bible calls bitterness, that habit, that thing that's trying to destroy you, that thing that's trying to destroy your family, that habit that you had, or that thing that you used to enjoy, at least your flesh did, but it was wrecking your family or wrecking your walk with God. Whatever those things are, you have to cast that down. The Bible says here, you have power to do so. He's not going to ask you to do something if we don't have the power to do it. And if it is difficult, then he's going to come alongside of us and help us. And so we've got to cast down imaginations. We wonder why we pray one thing and ask for deliverance and ask for good health and ask that God heals us. And then we go over here and do something completely opposite of what we've wanted God to do, and then wonder why we're not getting our deliverance. And many times we'll blame God. Pray for healing. And then totally wreck your health and your body with your habits. The way you eat, the way you conduct yourself, the things you do, the things you don't do that are wrecking your health, and then pray for a supernatural healing. Pray that God would give you peace, and then expose yourself to all kinds of crazy movies and slasher movies and all kinds of stuff and watching these things and going to the scary places around Halloween time and pay money to get the daylight scared out of you, and then pray for God to give you peace. I'm telling you, because I've been there. I'm telling you, I've done it. We pray for one thing and pray for deliverance in one area, and then put ourselves right in the arena to be tempted. Put ourselves right back in the conversations and the friendships to be tempted. And it started here. Is it any wonder why in the Old Testament we're being told, don't do this, don't do this, you should do this, don't do this. And all these thou shalts and shalt not, and don't kill, and don't commit adultery, and don't steal, and don't do. But in the New Testament, Jesus comes along and says, look, don't even let it get started in your heart. Don't look at your neighbor's wife that way. Don't think about her that way. Don't hate your brother. Don't covet your brother's stuff. Why? Because that was the root behind the act. And so Jesus knows that if you can get that out of your mind and you can take control of your mind, and you can. You have to discipline your mind and say, I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to think about this. I got a passing thought, and I'm going to cast this down. I'm getting on top of my thoughts. I'm not letting my thoughts run away from me. I'm not letting my thoughts take control of me. I got control over this mind of mine. I'm going to take control, and I'm going to refuse to play that ahead. And so I got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Years ago, I had a little bit of a misunderstanding about that because I would think this is arrogant people. And it is, but here's how that would look to me. People so full of pride that they would exalt their opinion above the knowledge of God, like, I don't believe there is a God. And if there is, I'm so awesome, I'm going to go to heaven anyway. You know, they're exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And I don't need God. You know, this is the kind of behaviors I thought this scripture was about. I don't think that's it at all, because very few people are that stupid. But I'll tell you where we struggle. We struggle with things like this. We exalteth ourselves, our knowledge against the knowledge of God, something like this. It's when we say, I don't know if God can forgive me. What does his word say? I don't think God wants me to be saved. I don't think he can save a person like me. You see, we do it sometimes in the mindset of humility, and I'm so humble. But in reality, we've just exalted ourselves against the knowledge of God. If God has called you to do something, don't say, I can't. Oh, I've done it a number of times. And still find myself in my mind, even though I don't say it out loud. But that passing thought when God asks me to do something, I still think sometimes, are you sure you have the right guy? Abraham said it. Moses said it. Sometimes we fail to see the humanity behind some of these great men of God. David. Peter. We fail to see their humanity and their moment of weakness. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about our mindset and the things that we're thinking about and exalting ourselves against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now not only do we get on top of our thoughts and say, I'm not going to think that way and I'm not going to allow that to play out. I got a passing thought that was a dumb thought, but I'm not going to allow myself to dwell on that. I'm not going to allow myself to ruminate on that. I'm not going to allow that to get any traction in my head. I'm getting that thought out of my mind. But then we get to the point where it says, bringing into captivity every thought, everybody say every thought, to the obedience of Christ. When you hold something captive, you don't let it out. So that thought that you had, you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't do it. Everybody say, hold it captive. Don't say everything you think. You know how many relationships are wrecked because in a dumb moment you had a stupid thought and you just said it? How many people have lost jobs because you just said something in the heat of the moment and it really wasn't something wise or really something you shouldn't have said and maybe something you didn't really believe, but in the heat of the moment you just said it. Hold captive those thoughts. Hold captive those actions. You think about doing something, you sling something and hurt something, wreck something, you destroy something because in a moment of rage you just threw it. You got to hold captive your thought. That action was started in your brain. It started in your thoughts, and you didn't hold it captive, and now it cost you. You don't have to get everything out there to get it out there for everybody to know. Bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here we go back to the scripture we said a few weeks ago about the fact that it's not just that we resist the devil and he will flee, but we submit ourselves therefore unto God. We are in submission to him, and then we commit ourselves to God. We submit ourselves to him, and then we resist the devil and he will flee. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Everybody say action. So it goes from all the stuff in your head, goes from all the stuff that we think about, and it's being captive of those things. It's having dominion over ourselves. It's being in control of our thoughts, our mouth, and our actions. And then we revenge all disobedience when our obedience, when we actually do the will of God. So we see in this passage that weapons are not carnal, they're the weak things, but they are mighty, and that these helpless areas of in our life we can overcome. And we have to have control over our feelings and our doubts and our fears, and not let those things get out. And that we have to be in agreement with His Word and make sure that our opinions and our things don't take root in our actions and get a chance to get out. That we have to take captive those thoughts to obey Christ. And don't let those things escape. Don't talk about it. And don't keep talking about it. Keep those things locked down. And in fact, I have found this. The progression I try to do is this. First of all, lock down the thought. First of all, to cast down imaginations. Don't let that thought run away and just turn into something. And then take captive those thoughts. So don't talk about it. Don't say it. And I'm not perfect in all this yet. I'm still working on this. Because even today, somebody says something as I was in the building today, and I said something almost in agreement with them and realized I don't think that was right. It wasn't wrong. I mean, it wasn't something that was bad. I'll tell you what it was. Somebody said, so I said, how you doing? They said, well, I'm struggling a little bit. And I said, well, we all struggle a little bit. And what I was doing is just helping them to know that we all struggle a little bit. But when I said that out loud, I thought to myself, I should have given a word of encouragement instead of just saying, we all struggle a little bit. So is that bad? Is that wrong? No, I just think it could have been better. And so the Lord talked to me about that and said, I could have encouraged that person and said, well, you're in the right place. God's going to help you today. But instead to just try to connect, I was like, well, yeah, you know, we're all in the same boat. Join the club. I'm struggling too. Like they're going to get anything from me today. So sorry, I apologize to you. So I've had to learn to get on top of my passing thoughts and not let those run away into emotions and then hold captive every thought and don't let it, make it a prisoner, make sure it doesn't get out of my mouth and out of my actions and then bring every thought to the obedience of Christ and so I can break these strongholds in my life. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you have more power than you think. Because God has given us the recipe right here, but we'll come service after service asking for deliverance, asking for God to help us to forgive and ask for God to help us over a habit when some of this is within our own grasp and within our own power. I'm not taking God out of this equation. I'm saying that supernaturally He's going to show up, but we've got to do our part. Make sure that my pride doesn't get me saying things that are contrary to the scriptures. I don't know if I'll ever get over this. Give me a scripture. Give me a scripture on that one that will validate that, yeah, there's some things we'll just never get over. You hear good quotes sometimes on Facebook or Instagram, or you see some cute little quote that sounds right. A little quote in a movie or something, you think, yeah, that's really true. Is it? Does it line up with Scripture? To thy own self be true. What does that even mean? I already told you I'm whacked. Be true to myself, a guy that's already whacked in the head? See, I shouldn't even have said that. I'm still learning, I told you. To thy own self be true. What does that even mean? It's a good quote. You know, to be honest with yourself and to follow your dreams. How about follow His dreams? follow my own dreams got me in trouble before. I'm trying to follow his dreams in my life. I do much better when I follow his dreams, when I follow his plan for my life. And so I've got to make sure I'm in alignment with him and make sure that those things don't escape out of my mouth and don't talk about it, don't keep talking about it, and keep those things locked down. So casting down imaginations to holding captive those thoughts and then being obedient to Christ. And let me tell you one more step that I take is I have an understanding in the spirit. And the Bible says that the devil is a liar and a father of lies, and there is no truth in him. Okay, that's a hint. That's a clue. The clue is, if you hear something that you know it's not God and it sounds something like this, you're never going to amount to anything. You're too far gone. You'll never amount to anything. You're too broken. Let's say you hear something like that. Okay, does that sound like God? Does that sound like any scripture? No. Okay. So I'm not going to exalt that against the knowledge of God, because the knowledge of God says I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He said God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So I know that all of us he's wanting all of us to be saved. So I'm not too broken for him to save, because his word says God is not willing, it's not his will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So he just wants everybody to repent. So I can stand on his word. So if I hear that, I'm not going to exalt that opinion, that thing that I heard, against the knowledge of God. So I know that the devil is a liar and a father of lies, and there is no truth in him. So when I hear something that I know it's not God, and I think it may be me or the devil, but it's contrary to God, here's the fourth thing that I do. I say out loud, and I'm still working on this, I say out loud just the opposite. In other words, you're never going to amount to anything. You're too far gone. Whatever that is. Nope. Passing thought, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to think about all the things that makes that right. Yeah, I know what I did. Nobody knows me as well as I know me. And yeah, that's right. I probably am too far gone. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get that under control. I'm going to hold captive that thought, which means I'm not going to say that out loud. I'm not going to repeat that stupid thing that I heard out loud. I'm not going to tell it to anybody, nor am I going to behave that way. I'm going to continue to walk in God and submit myself to the obedience of Christ. That fourth thing is now this. If the devil told me I'm not going to mount anything, I'm too far gone, then I'm going to say I'm not too far gone. And if the devil says I'm not going to mount anything, then he's a liar and a father of lies, there is no truth in him, then I must be getting ready to do something. Because if he's a liar and a father of lies, then everything he says is the opposite. So if I'm worthless, then I must have great worth. If I'm never going to do anything, thank you, devil, for reminding me. You say I'm never going to do anything. God knows I'm going to do something great. He thinks I'm going to do this. So I can use his words if I'm sensitive in the spirit and know what's going on here and know what's happening in the spirit world. Everything he tells you is a lie. You know that you are about to do or can do, and God has equipped you to do just the opposite. And so you speak the opposite of those things that you've wrestled with. So when you say, I just can't forgive, I can forgive. God has given me the power to forgive. If he's forgiven me, then certainly I'm going to forgive somebody else. I can't move on. I will move on. I'm going to move on. It's God's will that I move on, and it's my will that I move on. And so you speak those things. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Look at your neighbor and say, who do you think you are? Now, I know some of you meant that differently than how I meant that. And some of you enjoyed that a little too much. I think some of you actually said it with a little bit of a... But it matters who you think you are. I've talked to people before that just thought they were damaged goods. And I looked at them and I thought, they're a beautiful person. They got their whole life. I mean, they have the world by the tail, man. They could do anything they wanted to do. But because in their mind they were a broken person, it was tough to get them to see them as I saw them and as God saw them. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when somebody just asks you, who do you think you are? It matters who you think you are. And you better find that answer in him. Because I'm not who I think I am. I just need to be who he thinks I am. And then I can think in my heart who he thinks I am, because I got more trust in him than I do my own opinion. And so how you think of yourself is important. That's why all this thought work is important. 2 Corinthians 10:6, and having a readiness, and this is the last part of the passage that we start off with, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I will help you to understand this. There is a time and a way to discuss problems and issues. When I say don't talk about things, what I'm talking about is sometimes people will over and over and over talk about their hurts, talk about their wounds, talk about their past, talk about this stuff, and it never is in a mindset to move forward. I just need to talk about it. I get that. But at some point, you've got to move that conversation forward and talk about it for the sake of moving forward. How do I get past this? How do I defeat this? Because this is a stronghold in my life. I need to turn it around and let it turn from a stronghold into a testimony. Because I need the thing that was meant to destroy me to be the thing that I not only makes me stronger, but this needs to be the thing that I help 10 other people to get over, because they can look at my life and say, look, I got over this, I got past this, and I'm going to help you to get past it, because God helped me. I had to do the thought work, but God helped me supernaturally, and I'm here to help you to get past it. So there is a time and a place, and find somebody spiritual and a mature friend and somebody to help with that. Don't just keep rehashing it over and over and over, talking about the wounds and the hurts. If you got to talk about it a couple of times to find the solution, then find the solution and move it forward. Just don't keep rehashing it, and don't just open your mouth and tell the devil every fear that you have. Again, that's a lesson a couple lessons ago, how many times we say things and the devil does not know what you think. He does not know your thoughts until I open my big mouth and tell him my thoughts and tell him my doubts and tell him my fears and tell him my temptations and tell him those things. And so I have to be very careful that, man, how did he know? How did he know this perfect temptation? How did he custom make this temptation that he knew? It's like he knew. Well, he did. You gave him an invitation as soon as you told him what your temptations are and what brand and what flavor and whatever your temptation is, whatever your struggle is, whatever your fear, whatever your disappointment, whatever the thing you think in life is unfair, whatever hurt, whatever person hurts you, and you keep talking about, oh, I just can't forgive. Okay, then we need to keep that bitterness going with that person. We need to make sure we put somebody in his workplace that has that name. Years ago, I went to Bible school. And I was in school for, I was there and went through a bad situation here with a relationship years previously. And so I go to Bible school, and so as I was leaving the cafeteria, this is about 4 or 5 days after being at Bible school, I said, hey, guys, I'll talk to you later. And I went to turn and hit the door and just about ran over this girl that was in front of me. I mean, I face to face, just about knocked her over. I said, I am so sorry. And she smiled at me. She said, hi, and then she gave me her first name. Guess what first name it was? I mean, don't say it out loud. I could show you a picture. It could have been a twin of the hurt in my life. It's amazing how the enemy will mess with you. If you don't think the spirit world is real, just try to serve God and watch freaky things happen in your life to show you that it is. So don't say everything you think or feel. Control it. Cast it down. Lock it up. And then say just the opposite. That's the steps that the Bible gives us. Philippians 4, 7 through 9. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding. How many of you have ever prayed that and pleaded with God that he would help you with the peace that passes understanding? And know that he showed up and know that he did. There are some situations that as a chaplain and as a pastor and going into hospital situations and going into family situations, I pray that prayer, God, I don't even know how to bring peace to this situation. You got to help me. Please be here. Bring a supernatural peace that we can't understand. So we pray for that and we believe in it. How many of you believe in that? Amen. Amen. I believe it. But let me show you another way that it happens, not just supernaturally. Some of it comes because we've cultivated the soil for this kind of peace. I'm going to show you how, because I'm in the book. I'm showing you scripture for it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whew, aren't you thankful? Finally, brethren, now he's going to give us our part to this. Whatsoever things are true. What he's going to say, I want to get to the tell you the end part first. He's going to say, think. Everybody say, think. He's going to say, think on these things. Now, this doesn't seem very spiritual. But I'm telling you, he just talked about the peace that passes understanding. And he's going to tell us how we accomplish this, even though he shows up supernaturally. But he's putting us in a position to receive it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, that means good news. I know bad news sells, and I know even sometimes we get together and talk, it's going to be, did you hear about this couple? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this accident? Did you hear about the helicopter crash? Did you hear about, and that's big news. We very rarely are talking about great things that are happening. If you look at the newspapers that are in the cashier's line there at the store, it's the tabloids. Nobody's saying that somebody rescued somebody. Nobody's saying that after 50 years, this couple in Hollywood is still together and still in love. That doesn't sell. We want to hear who's breaking up. We want to know who's fighting for custody. And so bad news. And so the Bible here is telling us to think about those things that are of a good report, the good news. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. Think on these things. Think on these things. Why? Because if you think about them, you're going to talk about them. You're going to do them. You're going to live that again. Back to the thought process thing. If we think about these things that are honest and pure and holy and just and righteous, if we think about these, there's a real good chance that if we think about them, we're going to do them. You find me somebody that thinks about these things a lot and then does these things. I'm going to show you a person that's got a lot of peace in their life. Do they have a perfect life? No. But do they have peace? Yes. Why? Because they're following this biblical principle right here. For supernatural peace that passes understanding. My life's in chaos. The world may be in chaos. Stock market's crashing. Things going on overseas. But I'm going to have peace. Why? Because of where I've put my mind and I continue to think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do. Look at your neighbor and say, do it. It's a biblical slogan long before Nike got a hold of it. And the God of peace shall be with you. So you can come up to this altar after service and pray for peace. And if you need peace in your life, do it. But if you leave here on Monday, start stirring something up on Facebook. Look, everybody knows what you're talking about. If you got drama in your life, everybody knows who you're talking about. Don't just put out this comment. They know who some people. Just say their name. Just duke it out right there online. God, give me peace. Give me the peace that passes understanding. And then you go get involved in drama. You go stir up the pot. You go hanging out with drama people doing drama things and wondering why you got drama in your life. Some musicians make their way to the platform. And so we do these things that bring peace. And then God shows up. That's why we submit ourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to be in agreement with God. You know, the same umbrella of blessing is the same umbrella of protection, is the same umbrella of authority. Submitting myself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And with that, I get his blessing. Unfortunately, we're in a country, maybe even a world, but at least in this country, where I want the blessing of God. God, I want you to bless me, but don't tell me what to do. Don't give me some do's and don'ts. Don't give me any rules or guidelines. Just come along with me on my path. This is my path. This is my life. This is my journey. But I want you to bless it. I want your healing. I want the cash. I want the blessing. I want the health. I want all this stuff. But I'm not going to do your thing. I kind of want you to be with me and help me do my thing. But it doesn't work that way. And so I submit myself therefore unto God and then resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. So I want to give us some faith confessions as we stand in this place today. Everybody say faith confessions. I learned this from the Jason Sisko. I don't think he knew this when we were standing at Burger King and I was ordering a number one with cheese, no onion, strawberry shake. And I'm waiting for him to give his order. I'm a youth pastor and he's a visiting evangelist doing a youth service, some youth services for us. And he's standing there. Strong, I'm mighty through God, casting down imaginations. Do you want fries with that? Are you going to order? Are you going to preach? I said, what are you doing? He's a little high strung. He said, faith confessions. What's that? I just want to eat. My food's going to get cold. He said, I'm telling myself what the scripture says about me. That's what God says about me. What he's telling himself is he has doubts too. The Jason Sisko at 17 maybe didn't know he was going to be the. You might have known, Mom. You knew from day one? Figures. He really is that guy. But for a moment, there was some doubt. Because when I asked him what he's doing, he said, I gotta see myself as God sees me. The Jason Sisko, pastoring a powerful church in the Houston area, head of Prayer Nation, and has spoken to the UN and had one of the most powerful speeches of every world leader and people in these organizations that spoke during that time at the United Nations. His was the most powerful message of all the people that addressed the entire United Nations. It's a powerful speech. Watch it. And I'm watching him in a Burger King when he's 17 saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? why is he saying that? What do you? Because he knew that there were some things inside of him that maybe he didn't see himself as God saw him. And for him to be the man that God had called him to be, he's going to eventually have to see himself through the eyes of God and through the eyes of Scripture. And he's going to have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He knew he would have to do that. And so it taught me something. It taught me that many times I have to make sure that I don't repeat the words of the enemy and then have God try to help me with that. But many times I have to have some faith confessions. So I'm just going to read some scriptures here real fast. They can have those for you available if you need them. But here's just some passages that you need to know, because we all deal with seasons and thoughts and imaginations, and we all deal with doubts and fears and concerns about ourselves. So here's some faith confessions in Scripture. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means everybody, God wants everybody to be saved. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're too bad and God can't save you. God doesn't want to save you. That wars against this scripture. Do not elevate your opinion against the knowledge of God. This Bible says that he is not willing that you perish or that I perish, but all of us should come to repentance. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We've got to know that no matter what happened in our life, that those things can pass away, and today's a new day. 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. 2 Timothy 1:6-7, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:1-2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And I end with this, Romans 8:37-39. Sometimes we don't feel loved. Sometimes we don't feel lovable. I don't know how anybody could love me. Paul said, I am persuaded. Everybody say, I know. He didn't say, I feel. Sometimes, Brother Parson, you just have to know. I just have to know. Sometimes I don't feel him. Brother Craig, I don't always know where he is in my circumstance. But if I can know that he loves me. And Paul, with all the disappointment and the shipwrecks and the beatings and the scourgings and the whippings and being stoned and left for dead.